Blog Talk Radio.
So praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Wednesday, January 9th of 2019. And we're so glad that you could join us wherever you are, wherever you may be accessing the show, whatever device it might be, whether it's a MacBook, or some other kind of Mac, or a Microsoft computer, desktop, laptop, a tablet, you know, iPad, or a smartphone. Hopefully it's not a Droid, because we really, 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 really don't like Droids at all. Actually, just kidding. We like them all. We do. We're just so glad that you would make the determination to come on board, be a part of this, and be a part of what God is doing. God is doing beautiful things. He's just moving beautifully. So far, we've had a great start to the new year. Not just me personally. Yes, me personally, but also on this program. We've been having great times in the Word on this program. It's just been great. It really has been. And it means a lot when you guys make the determination to get on board and join us wherever you are, whether you're driving somewhere or whether you're at home or at work somewhere. Obviously different people with different shifts and such, but we're so glad. And I just, my belief with you is that you receive everything that God has in store for you tonight, whatever it is. Yeah. It really means a lot to us that you choose to come on board and be a part. I'm going to give the website and phone number and that right off the get-go, and then get into the monologue. and then pray and all that, because I just made a decision that I'm going to start giving the phone number and website stuff right off the get-go. So we're going to try that and see how that goes. So with that in mind, the cool thing about this is that that can allow for more discussion, as opposed to if I wait a while. Folks, I want to encourage your listeners, please tell other people who are interested in listening. I want you to tell them how they can be a part of the show. And what you can tell the listeners is you go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com. you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you want to type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that is Upfront Entertainment. After you do that, you'll see a link. That link says Live and Large. We want you to click on that link. We really do. We want you to click on the link. And then you can... And after that, you'll see a little button that says Miracle Meal. Hit that bubble, because then you're on board the program with us. And then after you do that, you'll see a follow button. We want you to hit the follow button, because then you'll get notified as we get ready to do the show. For example, Monday night will be our next show, Monday, January 14th, 6:30, like normal. And then same thing with the 15th and the 16th, Tuesday and Wednesday. It's just beautiful thing what technology allows us to do. And by the way, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone or your tablet or on your computer. It's a really smart idea to follow this program, because unlike some other talk shows, I got the Word of God. Some other talk shows might talk about the Word of God and say some biblical things, but here we open it up and I actually read chapters out of the Word of God. On average, you're getting 2 chapters a day of reading the Bible. That I give you that. 2 chapters per show. So you get a wealth of words. We're totally about the Word of God here. We also, yes, we're big into sports too. But we're going to talk about that later on in the program. We have a telephone number that you can be a part of the show. We have a rule here that generally you can talk about anything, as long as it's not politics. You want to talk in and call in and talk about politics. The president, this, and this, and the government shutdown. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you to pray for your leaders who have authority over you, for one thing. And then I'm also going to tell you, hey, next time, why don't you vote? Because if you're not voting, you don't have the same right to complain and discuss in the same manner. There are other great talk show hosts that you can call in and talk to in the showtime, like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Joe Pags, Mark Levin. All great, solid talk show hosts. And I just might call one of them soon. We just don't do politics on the show. The number to call in and be a part, discuss. We deal with a lot of different things. We talk about food and other some stuff that's going on. The number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. and then you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You want to go ahead and press 1. Then you'll be taken to a call screener, and then my assistant, Cassidy, will answer the phone, and she will ask you your name and where you're from, and then basically what you want to talk about. The reason why we want to know where you're from, you know, is so that I can identify you properly, as opposed to just saying, hello. So hopefully we can have some great callers tonight. So, with that, some things are going on. It has been confirmed. According to Business Insider, I received the confirmation this morning. McDonald's will start the cheesy bacon fries on Wednesday, January 30th, nationwide. I'm really excited about this launch. And according to Business Insider, a spokesman for McDonald's said they're doing this to encourage customers to purchase loaded fries as a snack and not just as a side item. You know, where they might order fries and maybe want some cheese on them. Only I don't know that McDonald's does that right now. You don't think they do that, you know, Cassidy, do they?
I don't think so.
I don't think they do in this market, maybe in a few other markets, but not up in this market because different markets, different things. And then, you know, I go through the McDonald's app thing, and just out of curiosity, sometimes I'll look at different areas, you know, or different, scan different McDonald's of different areas to see, like, if they have different things. And I came across one McDonald's out west somewhere in California, and they had a bacon Big Mac and a bacon quarter pounder. Apparently, that's going national. Did you hear about that, Cassidy, that those are going national also?
I did not.
Apparently, these are going to be going national. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good thing. And here's why. Because everybody needs more bacon. Trust me. You live in America, you need more bacon. That's all there is to it. I like to advertise it as such, but I like bacon, but not as much as some people that I know. Oftentimes with breakfast, given a choice between bacon and sausage, I will not say most of the time, I will say much of the time, I prefer sausage over bacon. Is it over half? I won't say either way. It's close to half. Is it over it? I don't know. I will say this, though. On a cheeseburger and stuff, or on something, sometimes that's where bacon's the best, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like on a burger or something, yeah, we need more bacon. We need more bacon. I wonder what a sausage burger would be like. I mean, obviously you'd have sausage instead of the burger, the hamburger meat, you know what I mean? And then you'd have lettuce, tomato, other things. I'd actually like to see that. As long as the sausage was an awful lot like the hamburger, you know. That'd actually be pretty good, don't you think? If they did it right.
Possibly.
It's got to be the right kind of sausage so that it can taste the closest to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I didn't say it couldn't have as much salt in it, but it might have to have a little bit less of the salty taste, maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To make it taste more like an actual burger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the cheese and that. I'd like to see it, though. I think it'd be really good, honestly, because they don't make little sausage strips like how they do bacon strips.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it has to be bacon, you know, and not a donut. Because they're two different animals. It's about what one prefers, because the two are nowhere near alike. They're not. Some people prefer one, some prefer the other. Me, it depends on the mood I'm in. It really does. There's something about man and bacon. By man, I mean human. Even though one time we're at a man, my church, we were at a men's meeting. Everyone's going up past, so we'll do a 30-45 minute men's meeting right before prayer on Sunday. This is once in a great while. And one time after Pastor was done, he came near me and I said, "Pastor, what if you taught us guys about, you know, what is a man of God?" And you said, "A man of God is a man who loves bacon." And Pastor Teason said, "We'd have the biggest men's meeting ever. Especially if there was free bacon handed out, I wouldn't doubt it." Because if you don't really like bacon, at least on something, you're silly. Okay, maybe not, but it's good stuff. Because apparently we really do have a love for bacon in this country. Then why do they call it Canadian bacon when it's Americans that love it even more?
Canadian bacon is a different form. It's more like slices of ham. It's a Canadian twist.
So it's not like the bacon is from there.
No.
Turkey bacon's kind of like that, I feel like.
Yeah. It's different.
It's not like Christmas ham. I wish some of it could be like a Christmas ham.
Yeah.
Or Easter hams are a lot like that too, though. They really are. And Thanksgiving, even those are the same too, aren't they?
Yep.
It's really a holiday ham, but I don't mean it to take Christmas out of it. It's just that that one's used more like for the holidays, you know. Is that what the hickory ham is? Like that place that they have at Wackerly and Jefferson? Is that mainly those holiday type hams? Is that what that is?
I have no idea.
All right. Couple more things real quick. One of them is that I will be singing on January 20th in Saginaw, and my mom will be teaching a great lesson from the Word of God. Mind you, I will be singing Good, Good Father, one of the great contemporary worship songs of the day, one of my favorites. It really is. And our Heavenly Father really is good to us, and I love Him very much. I really do. He's everything to me. He really is. And this is on Stone Street, just a little bit east of downtown. Maybe south too, I forget, but it's near downtown Saginaw. And the service is at 11 o'clock, I believe. I'm going to verify this and make sure by next time. And it's in, as I said, it's in Saginaw, so probably 11 to about 1 o'clock. After that, maybe, just maybe, if you want to, we could go somewhere to eat. Somewhere of your choosing. Listener, somewhere of your choosing, not mine. And I'm not going to drop any hints as to where we might go. I already mentioned a few places that Saginaw has that Midland doesn't. I'm not saying that meaning we're going to go, because if one of you comes, you're picking, not me. You mean what's the stipulation? Depends on where you want to go. But you know what? We'll have a blast regardless. Well, and I just thought you'd want to hear me sing, so. Yeah, my mother teaches the Word of God, so I wanted to extend the invitation. Once again, that's Sunday, January 20th at 11 a.m. in Saginaw. With that, let me just check my clock real quick. All right, we're going to get into prayer. Okay, here's the plan for the rest of the night first. After prayer, we're going to go to Judges chapter 19. Then we're going to go to Hebrews 11 and first two verses of Hebrews 12. And then after that, we're going to exhort a little bit. And then after we do that, we'll see if the Lord wants me to sing or something. And then after that, we will get into a little bit of discussion on Michigan and Michigan State basketball, Red Wings. And then, football picks. Which one day of the picks, Saturday, went great, just like I thought it would. Sunday, I got smoked. So, I'll pick these games. Yes, I have my nicknames ready to go, too, for when I do the final. And then, we'll go from there. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these beautiful people that have made the choice to join me, to be a part of this program, to learn of you, learn of your ways, so that we can live for you the best we know how. I thank you that you're strengthening us, building us up, so that we can be able to withstand and walk through the day. This day that we live in. As we live in an evil day. You're helping us. You're helping us to get through it, Jesus. You are helping us. Lord, thank you that these people have ears to hear from your word. As you have said, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. And I thank you that they come expecting to learn from you. And I thank you that they also have a mind willing to understand of your word. And Lord, I thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight, and that I would say only what you would have me say. And I just thank you right now. I confess over the show that we have finances coming into the show in the name of Jesus. We have partners who want to come on board and help us in your name, Jesus. I also thank you that we have increases in listenership, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that this year we will, at the very least, double the amount of listeners we get. And Lord, most importantly, I claim that we have souls coming in to this kingdom as a result of this show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right. Let's open up, if you will, please, to the book of Judges, chapter 19. But praise God, Judges chapter 19. Hang on, I was just moving something. By the way, I took a sip of my Coke and I still beat you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to encourage you, be engaged, be a part. Don't just be a spectator, be a participator. I pray, you pray. I sing, you sing. I have my Bible open, you go ahead and study with me. Okay? So we're in chapter 19, and we're going to start in verse 1. In those days, Israel had no king. now a Levite, who lived in a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim, he took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judea, but she was unfaithful to him. She left him and went back to her father's house in Bethlehem, in Judea. After she had been there for 4 months, her husband went to her to persuade her to return. He had with him his servant and two donkeys. She took him into her father's house, and when her father saw him, he gladly welcomed him. His father-in-law, turn the page, and the girl's father prevailed. He prevailed upon him to stay. He remained with him 3 days, eating and drinking and sleeping there. On the fourth day, they got up early, and he prepared to leave. But the girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Refresh yourself with something to eat, then you can go." So the two of them sat down to eat and drink together. Afterward, the girl's father said, "Please stay tonight and enjoy yourself." And when the man got up to go, his father-in-law persuaded him. So he stayed there that night. On the morning of the fifth day, when he rose to go, the girl's father said, "Oh, refresh yourself. Wait until afternoon." So the two of them ate together. Then, when the man with his concubine and the servant got up to leave, his father-in-law, the girl's father, said, "Now look, it's almost evening. Spend the night here. The day is nearly over. Stay and enjoy yourself. Early tomorrow morning, you can get up and be on your way home." But, unwilling to stay another night, the man left and went toward Jerusalem. And his two saddle donkeys and his concubine. Verse 11. And when they were near Jebus, and the day was almost over, the servant said to his master, "Come, let's stop at this city of the Jebusites and spend the night." His master replied, "No. We won't go into an alien city whose people are not Israelites. We will go on to Gibeah." He added, "Come, let's try to reach Gibeah or Ramah and spend the night in one of those places." So they went on. And the sun set as they neared Gibeah and Benjamin. There they stopped to spend the night. They went and sat in the city square, but no one took them into his home for the night. That evening, an old man from the hill country of Ephraim, who was living in Gibeah, the men of the place were Benjamites, came in from his work in the fields. When he looked and saw the traveler in the city square. The old man asked, "Where are you going? Where did you come from?" He answered, "We are on our way to Bethlehem in Judea, a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim, where I live. I have been to Bethlehem in Judea, and now I am going to the house of the Lord. No one has taken me into his house. We have both straw and fodder for our donkeys, bread and wine for ourselves. Your servant men, your maid servant, and the young man with us. We don't need anything except for this. I want a hotel room, a Cracker Barrel to go to." No, it doesn't say that, I don't think. It's not in there, is it? Cassidy, no. I threw that in there because I thought that's funny. You know, because these days you travel, you got all these hotels, you got Cracker Barrel, Waffle House, what have you, especially down south. And all right, we're going to read that right. "Our maidservant and the young man with us, and we don't need anything." Verse 20. "You are welcome at my house," the old man said. "Let me supply whatever you need. Only don't spend the night in the square." So he took him into his house and fed his donkeys. After they had washed their feet, they had something to eat and drink. While they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house. Pounding on the door, they shouted to the old man who owned the house, "Bring out the man who came into your house so that we can have sex with him." The owner of the house went outside and said to them, "No, my friends, don't be so vile. Since this man is my guest, don't do this disgraceful thing. Look, here is my virgin daughter and his concubine. I will bring them out to you now, and you can use them and do to them whatever you wish. But to this other man, do not do such a disgraceful thing." But the men would not listen to him. So the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them. And they raped her and abused her. Throughout the night, at dawn, they let her go. At daybreak, the woman went back to the house where her master was staying, fell down at the door, and lay there until daybreak. When her master got up in the morning and opened the door of the house and stepped out to continue on his way, there lay his concubine, fallen in the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, "Get up, let's go." But there was no answer. Then the man put her on his donkey and set out for home. When he reached home, he took a knife and cut up his concubine limb by limb into 12 parts and sent them into all the areas of Israel. Everyone who saw it said, "Such a thing has never been seen or done, not since the day that the Israelites came up out of Egypt." Think about it. Consider it. Tell us, what to do. We're going to go to chapter 20 now and continue on. Just seeing how long it is. Well, look at this. Then all the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba and from the land of Gilead came out of, as one man and assembled before the Lord in Mizpah. The leaders of all the people of the tribes of Israel took their places with the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 soldiers armed with swords. The Benjamites heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah. Then the Israelites said, "Tell us how this awful thing happened." So the Levite, the husband of the murdered woman, said, "I and my concubine came to Gibeah and Benjamin to spend the night. During the night, the men of Gibeah came after me, surrounded the house, intending to kill me. They raped my concubine, and she died. And I took my concubine, cut her into pieces, and set one piece to each region of Israel's inheritance, because they committed this lewd and disgraceful act in Israel. Now, all you Israelites, speak up and give your verdict." All the people rose as one man, saying, "None of us will go home. No, not one of us will return to his house. But now, this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it as the lot directs. We'll take 10 men out of every 100 from all the tribes of Israel, and 100 from 1,000, and 1,000 from 10,000, to get provisions for the army. Then, when the army arrives at Gibeah in Benjamin, it can give them what they deserve for all this done in Israel." So all of the men of Israel got together and united as one man against the city. The tribes of Israel sent men throughout the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What also this also crime that was committed among you? Now surrender these wicked men of Gibeah, so that we may put them to death and purge the evil from Israel." But the Benjamites would not listen to their fellow Israelites. From their towns, they came together at Gibeah to fight against the Israelites. At once, the Benjamites mobilized 26,000 swordsmen from their towns, in addition to 700 chosen men from those living in Gibeah. among all their soldiers, there were 700 chosen men who were left, handed each of whom could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Israel, apart from Benjamin, mustered 400,000 swordsmen, all of them fighting men. And the Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of God. They said, "Who with us shall go first to fight against the Benjamites?" The Lord replied, "Judah shall go first." The next morning the Israelites got up and pitched camp near Gibeah. The men of Israel went out to fight the Benjamites and took up battle positions against them at Gibeah. The Benjamites came out of Gibeah and cut down 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. But the men of Israel encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day. And the Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening. And they inquired of the Lord, and they said, "Shall we go up again to battle against the Benjamites, our brothers?" The Lord answered, "Go up against them." Then the Israelites drew near to Benjamin the second day. This time, when the Benjamites came out from Gibeah to oppose them, they cut down another outside 1,000 Israelites, all of them armed with swords. Then the Israelites, all the people, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was there with Phinehas too. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked, "Shall we go up again to battle with Benjamin, our brother, or not?" The Lord returned, and the Lord responded, "Go with them. I will give them into your hands." Then Israel sent an ambush around Gibeah. They went up against the Benjamites on the third day and took up positions against Gibeah as they had done before. The Benjamites came out to meet them, and they were drawn away from the city. They began to inflict casualties on the Israelites, just as before, so that about 30 men fell in the open field and on the roads. The one leading to Bethel and the other to Gibeah. While the Benjamites were saying, "We are defeating them as before, the Israelites were saying, let us retreat and draw them away from the city to the roads. All the men of Israel moved from their places and took up positions at Baal Tamar. And the Israelite ambush charged out of its place on the west of Gibeah. Then 10,000 of Israel's finest men made a frontal attack on Gibeah. The fighting was so heavy that the Benjamites did not realize how near disaster was. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and on that day the Israelites struck down 25,100 Benjamites, all armed with swords. And then the Benjamites saw that they were beaten. Now the men of Israel had given way before Benjamin because they relied on the ambush that they had sent near Gibeah. The men who had been in ambush made a sudden dash into Gibeah, spread out, and put the whole city by the sword. The men of Israel had arranged with the ambush that they should send up a great cloud of smoke from the city. And then the men of Israel would turn in the battle. The Benjamites had begun to inflict casualties on the men of Israel, about 30. And they said, we are defeating them as in the first battle. But then the column of smoke began to rise from the city. The Benjamites turned and saw the smoke of the whole city going up into the sky. Then the men of Israel turned on them, and the men of Benjamin were terrified because they realized that disaster had come upon them. So they fled before the Israelites in the direction of the desert. But they could not escape the battle. And the men of Israel who came out of the towns cut them down there. And they surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily overran them in the vicinity of Gibeah on the east. 18,000 Benjamites fell, all of them valiant fighters, as they turned and fled toward the desert, the rock of Ramon. The Israelites cut down 5,000 men along the roads, then kept pressing again the Benjamites as far as Gedor, and struck down 2,000 men. On that day, 25,000 Benjamite swordsmen fell, all of them valiant fighters. But 600 men turned and fled into the desert to the rock of Rimmon, where they stayed for 4 months. And the men of Israel went back to Benjamin and put all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else that they found. All of the towns they came across, they had set on fire. Wow.
Yes,
thank you. So, so let's talk about this a little bit. So you had these Israelites, but then you had all these Benjamites, and God put the Benjamites into the hands of the Israelites. Yeah, he put them in the hands of the Israelites. And so that was some wild stuff. Very wild stuff, if you ask me. The Israelites won. They took out well over 30,000 Benjamites. They took a lot. They took out so many of them. And God helped them. God helped them win the battle. And here's the deal. In our personal lives, we don't always have. We might not exactly have swords and javelins and weaponry and all that kind of stuff to fight. But we got, you know, and we got to go to battle. But here's what we do have. We have God on our side, and we have God who really wants to help us so that we can win our battles. And you know, as earthlings, we got to fight the flesh all the time. We just can't give up the fight. And I think of a verse that says, we fight the good fight of faith. And if you just decide, what if the Israelites had decided, cease fire? Well, what if the Gibeonites? What if the Benjamites? What if the Israelites said cease fire, but the Benjamites didn't agree? You know what? You would have killed a ton of it. You would have had a ton of Israelites killed on that battlefield because the Israelites had decided. If the Israelites had decided not to fight. Now, if you decide in your personal Like, you know, I'm not going to attack. You know, maybe I might have power over Satan and what have you. I mean, power over the devil. Because Jesus said, you know, I give you power to tread on snakes and scorpions, to overcome the power of the enemy. If you just decide not to fight, the enemy is very vicious. So we have to fight the good fight of faith all the time. We do. And we just have to. We just have to fight. And I think of a great truth. And you know what it is? It might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. By you, Jesus. And the way I win my battles is through Jesus. And many of you have heard my testimony, as I've shared it a few times on the show. When I was very little, when I was born, I was born with where my jaw, where my ear should have been, and other deformities. When I was very little, I suffered with seizures for like a year or two, till I was like two or something. I had colon cancer at the age of two. The spirit of death tried to take me a couple times. My kidneys were weak. And a bunch of all kinds of stuff. My eyesight was taken from me when I was 3 months old. And I've won so many battles. So many of those sicknesses have left me. My immune system is much stronger now than it was when I was real little like that. I have not had one seizure since I was super little. I got healed of colon cancer. My hands were healed of warts when I was like six. When I was five in Chattanooga, Tennessee, either four or five, they found the ear canal for my left ear. They found it and attached it, and I was so excited. And it's just been great. Jesus has brought me through so many things. And we're going to see the rest of the healing made manifest. And I'm going to be whole. And my mom never quit. Pastor Dr. Barclay never quit. I haven't quit. God still works. God still moves. I'm believing for my eyesight to come back. I'm believing for, in the name of Jesus, for my right ear to open. And God will see his work done to conclusion. But you want to know something? In our lives, he's working on us all the time. He's still working on me. to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun, the earth, the Jupiter, and Mars. How lovely and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Yes, I learned it when I was little. Some of you people might have just been a song you learned at Vacation Bible School. But guess what, folks? Guess what? There's a lot of truth to it. And if you could just have that in your mind, God is still working on me. Not perfect. But he's working on it. He's helping me. I'm doing my part. God's doing his part. I do my part. God does his part. I just think about God all the time and how great he is. And so, before I play us out and then get into sports, figured I would sing Our God. Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who can ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Thank you so much, God, that you're always with us. And you are so great. You are so mighty. You're always for us. And if you're for us, God, as we know you are, then what can stand against us? Nothing. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight. As we read, and I thank you that you always help us. You're always with us. as we go through stuff. You're always hemming us in. You're always helping us. You're always showing us what we should do next. Just like what you did with the Israelites as they were going against the Benjamins. And you helped them. You helped them. They did. They won their battle. The Israelites did. And I thank you that you're helping all of us. God. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Got bad news, but I got good news. First, the bad news. Red Wings, another loss. This time, 3-2. Sometimes in a way you like the 3-2 games. Other times you really don't like them. 3-2 is like they tried, but not enough. I've seen a lot of one-point Red Wings losses this year, unfortunately. Way too many. And sometimes I wonder, what happened? What's the deal with all the one-point losses? Tigers struggled a lot with these one-point losses. Maybe they were ahead, and maybe they gave up all those extra points. They could keep a lead. That would help. It really would. Michigan State got a nice win last night in basketball. The Spartans, they took down Illinois. Nice job. Indiana. They did a very nice job. Was very pleased with them. They're still ranked number 8. Michigan, still ranked number 2. They did their thing last night as they got a win against Illinois. All right. Now. As far as the Red Wings thing, though, they have lost 12 of the last 14 games. That is not a good place to be at if you're the Red Wings. They've already missed the playoffs both of the last two seasons. And I'm really hoping they can turn it around soon. They need to. I'm really hoping they can, because the Lions didn't make the playoffs. Tigers didn't make the playoffs. Pistons right now aren't doing so great. I want to see the Detroit teams really do well. I really do. I really do. All right. Football. I'm picking these games in the order that they are taking place. I'm gonna start with game one. Saturday at 3:30. You have the Colts going out to Kansas City. Going basically straight west out to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. You have a Chiefs team who has been doing very good this year, with only 3 losses. They have home field advantage. And they've done really good. However, the Chiefs have been struggling when it comes to winning home playoff football games. That is a concern. Also, look at the Colts. Look at but I will say for Kansas City, I want to say give a huge, a humongous shout out to Andrew Wiley, who is the Chiefs' best player of the year. I mean, best first-year player. Almost, it was basically unanimous, I understand, by the Chiefs. And Andrew Wiley was a student at Midland High. I don't think I ever met the kid, but he is a very good player for the Chiefs. And it's been great to watch him. He's done a lot of great things. I hope the Chiefs can win. I really do. But the Colts have been really doing some great things too. They went down to Houston, beat them by 14 points. They actually shut them out. They were actually shutting Houston out at one point, 21-0. But then the Texans came out, scored a touchdown. Looked like they could have done some more, but the Colts' defense stood tall. And can the Chiefs get through, break through, and get themselves a win? Or will the Colts' defense stand in the way? So, with this in mind, what do I see? Colt McCoy, 27. Barbecue, 21. Once again, this is game one in Kansas City. As far as records, I forgot to mention the Colts record, which is 10-6. All right. Now let's go further west out to Los Angeles for game two. This one is NFC Divisional, Saturday at 8:15. You have Los Angeles Rams taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas did a great job at running the football. The Seahawks had not given up as many yards in one game as what they did to the Cowboys. So that was pretty cool for Dallas to be able to do that. But they got to go out to Los Angeles and play the Rams. And Dallas' defense at times hasn't been so great, even though it has improved over what it had been earlier in the year. So I'll give them that. Also, we need to take into account that there have been times that the Rams have had to come from behind in order to win some of their games. And I'm talking about games where the Rams had given up a whole bunch of points. So we need to think about some of that, too. And I've thought about it. I've made my pick. It is Ram Trucks 38. How about them Cowboys 34? So once again, this is 38-34. High scoring game. I could see cowboys trying to drive and then time just running out. I could actually see that, to be honest with you folks. I really could. Will that happen? Who knows? That's why we play the football games. And that's why we watch them, so we can see. Now let's go to Sunday. This is game three. 105. You have the Chargers coming east again, just like they did last Sunday. This time going to Boston to take on the New England Patriots. The Ravens were not quite as good as the Patriots are. And the Patriots have really been improving the last couple weeks, which has been very good to see. The Chargers have been doing very good too, though. Note, this could be the best game of the whole playoffs, other than maybe the Super Bowl. And to be honest, I get it, it's based on seats and stuff, and seeds and stuff, but I feel like this should be the AFC Championship game, to be honest with you. I really do. When you think about it. But hey, Patriots-Chiefs could be good too. So, I was just thinking about something about this. So, I'm really excited about this. And think it's going to be fun. I think the Patriots will win this. No, it will not in any way, shape, or form be because of the West Coast coming back to play at just after 1 o'clock. I used that excuse last week, and that hurt me. Because the Chargers beat the Ravens. But then I looked at it and thought, you know, the Chargers are 12-4. So, with that in mind, red, white, and blue, 26, charging onward, 21. So, once again, that is 26-21, Patriots. Game number four, another goodie. Hey, NFL. I have a question for you, good old. Why couldn't we just play this game at 8 o'clock Sunday night? Why does it have to be at 4:40? Why, oh why, oh why, oh why does it have to be at 4:40? I don't get it. Because I got church and I'm not skipping it to watch a game. So why can't it be at 8 o'clock? Okay. I'll get off on that. It's just me wanting to watch a good game because I think it's going to be a good game. Nonetheless, I hope someone puts it on YouTube soon after it's over. Because I want to be able to see it in its entirety. Because I think it's going to be a very good game. I mean, it has the potential to be. It depends on what Eagles team turns out to play. If it's the Eagles who are trying, who are doing really good, the Eagles team that went to Chicago and beat the Bears by 1 point, then it could be a really good game. If it's the Eagles team who has struggled a lot in various games this year, I think it could be a blowout. It could go two different ways, but I have decided. St. Peter and Paul, 34. Philadelphia cheesecake, 25. So one more time on these picks. My winners are, they are game one, Colts. Game two, Rams. Game three, Patriots. And game four, Saints. And here's a note. All of these will be available for streaming on the Yahoo Sports app. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's a real cool thing. You don't have to be with any certain carrier. It's real cool. You can stream all of these for free on the Yahoo Sports app. And here's what's cool about it. I can be driving around town. I was doing this Sunday. We were driving to church. What was I doing on the way to church? Streaming the Bears-Eagles game. The part of it that was on the way to church. I was streaming that for a few minutes right there on my phone. And so, it's real cool. I confess Psalm 91 and over us in the name of Jesus. I pray that, I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our immediate family. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Until I see you folks again, which will be on Monday night. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.